This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Points with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now, your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G. George Ribolino.
Place to Be Nation, we have reached double digits. Your home for all traditional sports talk is right here. Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We have a great show for you this week. We are officially into summer. In fact, the last time we were on, I think we were a day into summer. We are now a couple weeks into summer. Baseball reaching close to the end of the first half of the season, and we're going to talk about that extensively on this week's episode. We're also going to talk about a myriad of other things, but I can't talk alone, although I guess I could, and I have. But I can't do this without the compadre, and he's particularly rankled this week, folks, because his air conditioning hasn't been fixed yet. So talking about things like Jason Kidd and A-Rod in a house that's 100 degrees, perfect podcast content. Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor, Dr. G. George Ribolino. Isn't it nice and cool out today?
Actually, today is a very nice day, so we got a little reprieve. Yes, my air conditioner broke last week. They came out, which was very hard to get someone out because, you know, when the weather gets, very hot around here, everybody needs to go get their air conditioners fixed. So I got somebody come out like a day and a half later, and they tell me it's the control panel and they need to order a part. So obviously with the holiday, they're not, it doesn't come until Tuesday. And they're not able to come out till Wednesday. So, needless to say, tomorrow's supposed to be like 88 degrees and Tuesday's supposed to be 90 degrees. I'm not going to be a happy person.
Not at all.
But I tell you this, things are starting to heat up, especially Major League Baseball right now. The trade deadline is nearing on July 31st. You're already seeing some trades already took place.
Yep, we'll talk about
the
those.
Oakland A's making the biggest splash so far. So we got a lot of that going on, and the World Cup is winding down.
Yes, we have a Final Four right now. The official Final Four is the host country, Brazil, Argentina, the Road Cones, otherwise known as the Netherlands, because they run around in orange shirts and wooden cleats, and Germany, who's probably still the favorite. And it's Brazil, Germany, and Argentina, the Netherlands. I believe those are the semifinals.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier in the week, like, you know, we wonder, oh, with the U.S. Now out of the tournament, how what's the interest? I have to admit, I kind of tuned out. I know some people that are still into it. Yep. I know some people that did pools, so they're into it for various reasons. But you would have to think that viewership is starting to go down, at least in the United States, due to the fact that, you know, with the U.S. being out, but you have a lot of people from other countries here that root for their countries. I mean, even for us, if Italy was still in it, we would probably have a little interest based on that's our nationality, so we would root for them. It's fun. It's something different. I mean, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I'll get into it for the World Cup for a little bit and, get the juices flowing and obviously the patriotism going. But I would say, I mean, even around work, you know, when I'm talking to people, it's like, the U.S. is out and, you know, whatever. I don't care as much anymore, depending on who's left in. You know, like I know somebody that's German and they're like, well, Germany's still in it. So there's a little interest there. But I have to say, for the most part, I mean, everybody at work when, last week. I mean, they even streamed it in, did streaming on one of the TV screens in our area and even made some of the programs work slower just to do that. But people were into it and it was fun.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it was cool to watch. And I have, there's one girl in my department who's a big soccer fan. So she got pumped up about it and it gets a little infectious. I've always, you know, what's funny, as a kid, like some of these very exotic, faraway countries. I've always been an Argentina guy, maybe because Diego Maradona was kind of cool in the 80s, even though he was a big, you know, crazed up cokehead. You know, he was an exciting guy. And we have a friend who's Ecuadorian who hates Argentina. So I like to needle her about Argentina. But
you like to needle people? Please.
Me like to needle people. Yeah, I'm such a nice guy, aren't I? Where are the meatballs? Yep. So the World Cup will continue, and maybe on our next show we'll have Todd Gessling on to give us a nice wrap-up of the tournament. He apologized for not being able to join us on our last show to talk about it, but he did say he would come on our next show to kind of wrap up the World Cup and talk a little bit about college football, Dr. G, which is right around the corner, which usually I care about because my baseball team sucks. So usually you don't care about college football until what? Our first UNH game? Is that usually when you first care about college football?
Pretty much.
No, but before we get into our stuff, let's talk about the rest of the show. Coming up after the break in our next segment, we're going to be joined by my good friend Chad Campbell, who's going to join us. You know, he's a very busy man these days, but we were able to squeeze a little segment for us because you, Dr. G, on our last show talked about Atlanta sports and kind of the economics of it because, you know, we've talked about teams and new buildings and everything, and both of the two major sports teams in the city of Atlanta, the Braves and the Falcons, are both getting new buildings, which I can't believe because both of their buildings now are barely 20 years old. So we're going to talk to Chad, who lives in the suburban Atlanta area, about what's going on down there and why and the process behind it, etc. So, of course, he's also the co-host of the Sports Lounge, who is our sister show that's down there in the smaller room. We get the bigger room because we're big time. They get the medium-sized room. Now, later on in the show, we're going to have a mega segment with Place to Be Nation's baseball analyst Joel Barnhart, who, of course, joined us on our last show to talk specifically about Tony Gwynn and his passing. But we're going to dive into his brain and talk about this first half of the baseball season, the trades that went down. As you mentioned, Dr. G, the Oakland A's snagged the only two guys on the Cubs that are any good. And as breaking news, your team, the New York Yankees, picking up another pitcher. So I'm assuming that the Yankees are going to attempt to win the world title like the Giants did in 2010 and 2012, which is hit nothing and pitch every win. Is that what it is? You're going to bat like 215,
well,
and win 1-0 games all the time?
I don't even know if they're going to do that. I just want to throw things at the TV when I watch them half the time. So
but anyway, we're going to talk with Joel Barnhart up and down about all of Major League Base. Maybe we'll do a little lightning fast kind of thing, Dr. G. You and I will just fire teams at him and let him break down what he thinks so far and what they'll do in the second half. So we'll have that. That's later on in the show. And, Dr. G, we have some emails. You pissed enough people off that they finally are telling us.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
So we got a couple of we got two emails. We'll talk about at the end of this segment. But that doesn't mean stop. Please keep it coming. ExtraPoint@placetobenation.com. Fire us off anything you want. Comments, questions. If you want to talk about a specific topic. And I'm allowing a sliver.
Even want to know about Brooklyn food? I'll tell you that too.
Well, we had a lot of that the other night. We will allow a sliver of wrestling because I had to see the disgusting bromance between Joel and Dr. G about spooning Dusty Rhodes and the Valiant Brothers or something. I don't know. Anyway, we have a couple of great emails, but before we do that, I really want to fire Dr. G up because this one story, which came about earlier this week, has really rankled him and has rankled a lot of. Not just new Brooklyn Nets fans, but NBA fans. And that's, of course, the hiring of Jason Kidd as the new coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, here's some quotes from Jason Kidd. Over the past couple of days, and this is earlier in the week, he's been asked, why Milwaukee? Well, his answer is simple. There is no place he'd rather be. Fuck you, Prokhorov. Over my 20 years in the NBA, quote, as a player and a coach, I've always been impressed with the level of support that Bucks fans have given this team in good times and bad. So he signed a 3-year, $15 million deal. And the whole thing just seems so sleazy. Now, here's the story, and then Dr. G, I want your comments. Now, apparently he went to GM Billy King, who apparently they don't really get along that well anyway. He wanted personnel decisions. I don't understand this about coaches. Just coach.
But anyway, I agree.
He wanted personnel decisions. Billy King said, and Prokhorov and those guys said, no, we just like you to coach. So immediately, his agent, Jeff Schwartz, reached out to the Bucks, who had a head coach themselves, and they talked about this, Jeff Schwartz and the owners for the Bucks, while Larry Drew was kind of hanging in the wind. I mean, they were the worst team in the league last year. They were 15-67. They were fairly terrible. The guy hadn't even been fired yet. And the Bucks are already talking to Jason Kidd. If they hire Jason Kidd, then fire Larry Drew, and then have this big, big, sexy press conference, you know, hey, here's Jason Kidd, our new guy. Isn't he great? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. G, but you and I were on the phone Christmas Day, about 5 o'clock. You were in Brooklyn, and I was home in Connecticut. And the Nets had just gotten shellacked on Christmas Day by, I believe it was the Celtics.
Yes.
Yes, the Knicks were playing. I'm trying to remember the Christmas Day. Knicks were playing the Bulls. Yes. The Celtics beat them like 104 to like 75 or something. It was hideous. And Kidd was rumored to be fired. They were, weren't they like 14 and 20 or something? I mean, they were fairly terrible.
They got off to a rough start.
Yeah, they suddenly go on a run, play great through February, March, April, get, I think it's the 5 seed in the East. They knock out the Raptors in 7 games in the first round and then get walloped in the second round by the Heat. So you're telling me that in this 3-month stretch where the Nets weren't playing unbelievable, you know, Heat level basketball, but they played, you know, good to go from being in the toilet to a playoff spot. You're telling me that he thinks he's that good to be able to have this kind of power?
You know what, Scott? I was a Jason Kidd fan, especially when he played with the Nets, you know, back in the early 2000s and made the franchise relevant. And, you know, you always heard these things. And, then he got Byron Scott fired. And you were like, well, you know what, maybe there's something to it. And, you know, Lawrence Frank did a decent job. And,
right. You
know, this is a guy that it's so funny because if you watch him, you think he's like a shy guy that doesn't really say too much. He's a sleazeball. He's a snake. And you know what? I hope you have fun in Milwaukee. I mean, why you'd want to go from New York to Milwaukee is beyond me. No offense to Milwaukee, but right now that franchise is in a lot of disarray. The building's very, you know, very quiet. There's nothing going on there. And you know that this was such an orchestration because he's friends with the new owners of the Bucks. So maybe he was trying to get a power play. You know, eventually he's going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, how would you want to work with this guy? I mean, really, anybody in an organization, you got to watch your back. He'll put the freaking knife right in your back.
Mm.
You know what, Jason? The Nets did the right thing by you. They stood by you last year. They retired your number. And this is how you treat the organization?
Yeah.
You get what you deserve. And you know what? It's all about because Derek Fisher got more money than him. That's all it's about with him. It's nothing but ego. And he's going to get what he deserves when he has some losing seasons there with the Bucks. Because let me tell you something right now. I was owning a team. I wouldn't be bringing his ass in. I'll tell you right now.
And I'm very very happy as an NBA fan. I mean, I do like the Nets. That they brought in a guy like Lionel Hollins, who's a good head coach. Stable guy. He's an X and O guy. He just wants a job. He's not looking for anything more. I think that's the kind of guy that I think the Nets need. A stable guy. He was fine in Phoenix. He was pretty good in Memphis. He got both teams to the postseason. So here's a guy who I think is very stable for the Nets, and I think is a good.
I think it was a good pickup. I agree. And the thing is that Jason Kidd, you burnt the bridge now. Now you burnt the bridge, and yeah, now this is out there. I mean, really? Do you? I mean. You know what? In today's sports world, everybody gets a hundredth chance, so who knows? But if you're telling me who the hell is going to want to work with this guy when he's probably behind your back, you know, in 5 minutes to try to you know, to get you out and get a you know, make it better for him.
Right.
And he's, you know what? I tell you the truth. I am so done. I ain't defending him anymore. I'm done with you, Jason Kidd. Goodbye. I don't ever want to see you back in Brooklyn again.
Wouldn't want to be.
And then, you know what? Even if I wasn't a Nets fan, enough is enough now with these guys that think that, you know, their coach, you know, you've been there 1 year. You know, you had 10 years under your belt and you won a championship. You know what? I don't say it's right, but you know what? You broke a cardinal rule. You went after somebody's job that still had a job.
Yep.
How disgusting is that? You wouldn't like that being done to you.
Now, just as much fault goes to the Bucks owners,
Well, they handled that poorly as well. I mean, you just buy a franchise and then you don't listen. If you were intending on getting rid of Drew, then you should have done that first.
I agree.
You know what? I hope Milwaukee is even worse than last year. How about that?
Well, they finished 15-67 a year ago. They did draft Jabari Parker with the second pick in the draft.
Hope he enjoys golfing, you know, when it's, you know, 30 degrees out.
That's funny.
In October.
So there you go. Jason Kidd is your new
have fun
head coach. So there you go. Of the
Dayanara, baby.
So obviously we have a lot of free agent stuff going on. And there's guys floating all over the place. The two main names that we talk about are, of course, LeBron James. Oh, my God. Is there the decision part two?
Ooh.
He's going back to Miami.
You think he is?
That's my bet right now. I think, you know, you had a team, the last 4 years that's made it to the finals. Mickey Aronson and Pat Riley have shown that they'll do what it takes to put the right team together.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to stay there. And the other guy you're going to probably mention is Carmelo Anthony. The other day there were sources saying that he'll probably take a little less money, go to the Knicks, but now I'm hearing the Lakers are back into that mix.
Yes. Yep. They are.
And that's going to be interesting. That would be interesting. What does Kobe have left? We don't know. The Lakers organization's a little bit of disarray right now.
Well, I wouldn't say they're disarray.
But they do have
money.
They're
not struggling with each other or anything. Nothing like that. They just, you know, they struggle this year. But, you know, Kobe was hurt. There was some talent issues. They didn't have much of a bench. So I don't know what either Melo or LeBron could do to make the team that much better, but I've been looking forward to this offseason with a lot of cap money. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. They have some cap money, so they do have an opportunity. I don't know. I don't know.
The Bulls are in the mix for Melo, and so we'll have to wait and
right
see.
Right now, I'm hearing there's anybody that's going to challenge the Knicks really good right now would be the Lakers
for Melo. Yeah,
for Melo. Yep. And so
now the Bulls are in the mix for both guys. So, very interesting. There's some other names out there. Luol Deng is being talked about. We'll probably have Andrew Reich back on our next show to chat about that.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But I'm going to go on record here saying that LeBron James is going to stay with Miami. And I think when it comes down to it, I think Melo is going to stay with the Knicks. I think he may take a little less money, so this way Phil Jackson has some flexibility. And trying to build around him, I think that he might buy into the Zen Master.
Hmm. I'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think?
I think. I mean, Phil was able for three straight seasons, and I watched him very closely to keep two very, very large egos from totally blowing up, and that's Kobe and Shaq, and they ended up winning three rings together in a row. By 2004, they were tuned him out and had enough of each other, and then there was that embarrassing finals loss to the Pistons, and then Shaq just left and went to the Heat. But this might be different. There might be a shot here. But we'll talk more about free agents and stuff as we over the summertime, and we'll talk. Maybe we'll have Andrew Reich on our next show to kind of wrap it up for us. Listen to this story before we get to the mail, Dr. G. You ready to really blow your head off? A new book. This is from ESPN. A new book reveals that suspended New York Yankees slugger Alex Rodriguez was granted an exemption by Major League Baseball to use testosterone prior to his 2007 MVP season. The book, which is called Bloodsport, Alex Rodriguez, Biogenesis, and the Quest to End Baseball's Steroid Era, written by Tim Efrink and Gus Garcia Roberts, and excerpted by SI, outlines that Rodriguez was granted a TUE, which is a therapeutic use exemption, in order to treat hypogonadism, a rarity in the sport, testosterone deficiency. According to the book, in 2007, of the 1,354 players subjected to testing, 111 were granted a TUE. Only two, apparently including A-Rod, received an exemption for androgen deficiency medications, the category that would include testosterone. Now, you, of course, remember 2007, Dr. G.
Right.
He hit 54 homers, 156 runs, and hit .314. Then your buddy there, Hank Steinbrenner, signed him to that huge deal before he went back to shoveling shit at the farm in Kentucky. So in 2008, he applied for two other TUEs, one for a different treatment for testosterone deficiency and one for a drug thought to be helpful in weight loss. That in this new book, pretty much in layman's terms, Dr. G, A-Rod was told, yeah, take what you want. Don't worry about it. Were they that hateful of Barry Bonds that they were going to let A-Rod do whatever he needed to so long as he breaks the run record?
First of all, I mean, you know, it is a book, so, you know, but if this is true, you know what? And this is what I'm trying to say. The Major League Baseball has been very successful in the Bud C League, but there's also been some crap that's gone on in him, and this is some of it. And this is a problem. I mean, you can't totally, you know, the owners are to blame as well because they turned a blind eye, but, you know, he turned a blind eye as well. And you know what? This stuff is just getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. It really is getting out of hand. And voice, which we'll be getting. And I think we need to, you know, you're starting to see that obviously they are cleaning up the sport. You're seeing that pitching's actually doing so much better. Mm-hmm. Hitting's actually struggling more. So you're starting to see a difference, which is great. I think this is something that needs to be done to clean up the sport. But I think, you know, the whole thing with A-Rod, none of this surprises me. That's the sad thing. None of this totally surprises me because you're right. But Barry Bonds was hated there for a while. Now it's funny because now A-Rod's, you know, one of the most hated now. You know, now that they're done with him now because he's an idiot as well. you know, these guys, you know, they just think they're above the law. But you know what? Then when you have your bosses telling you, you can get away with it, what do they think they're going to do? Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see as this this book gets out there and the book tour and you know these guys are talking about it to see what more and what comes out and what Major League Baseball has to say.
Right. Yeah. So we'll dive more into that. You know, as time progresses, when this book gets released and they don't mention the article doesn't mention any other names. Now Major League Baseball defends it. Quote, the TUE process under the Joint Drug Program is comparable to the process under the World Anti-Doping Code. Statement reads, the standard for receiving a TUE for a medication listed as a performance-enhancing substance is stringent, with only a few such TUEs being issued each year by the IPA, the independent people, the arbiters. MLB and the union annually review the TUE process to make sure it meets the most up-to-date standards for the issuance of them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. All right. Before we go to break, let's read the emails. I like that for cheesy music. Do you have a cart machine right now?
Well, I think right now, what was the budget? It's not in the budget.
Yeah, it's not
in
the budget. Yeah. All right.
Who are these placed to be editor, managing editor? You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of those freaking.
Yeah, I'm one of the
stuffy.
Shh. No, it's like Vince McMahon back in the day. I'm only a host.
Yeah, you're only. So come on, do something about this budget already.
Okay. Chris sends us an email. Chris, thank you. Extra point at placetobenation.com. Scott and Dr. G, first off, fan of the show. Love the concept of a separate sports show to go with PTB's wrestling stuff, which we have quite a bit of. I have a few questions I'd be interested to get your take on. One sports, one wrestling. Okay. Number one, how did you deal with conflicts when your teams and WWF and the Attitude Era collided on the same night in an era when the concept of DVR show recording was just starting? I thought back to the Grand Slam single Mets game coinciding with No Mercy 1999 on Place to Be Nation episode 226 and some of other similar situations with your teams. For instance, when the 2000 Lakers clinched the NBA title, it was on the last NBA Finals game to date on a Monday, same night as the go-home Raw for that crappy 2000 King of the Ring that Kurt Angle won. Well, him winning was cool. The rest of the show was crap. Or when the 2000 Mets clinched the NL pennant, game 5 of that NLCS was the night of the go-home Raw for No Mercy. All right.
This guy's not a Mets fan now, is he?
Let's answer that. Yes, yeah. And we'll get to question two in a second. Well, you and I were together at No Mercy 99. Remember game five? That was game five, Braves Mets, when Robin Ventura. Remember we were running up and down the stairs at our buddy Mike's house.
That's how we did it.
Yeah,
we
I was down. If it was a match I liked, yeah,
went back and forth.
If it was a match I liked, I stayed downstairs and was getting updates, yelling up and down the stairs. If it was a match I didn't like, I ran up the stairs and watched the game, and then.
you know, because a pay-per-view you could find anywhere, but a game is a game. It's, you know, particularly the Mets. We don't get postseason games very often, so I took advantage of them when I could.
Well, the thing is, the thing is that when it came to that stuff, like, we always used to call it the take a dump match.
Yes.
You know, would be on, you know, one of those, you know, low card matches, or usually, no offense to them, when the Divas would be wrestling.
That's,
you know,
right.
Usually,
you and Jordan that's hang out in the same circles then.
That's when we go check the, that's when we used to go check the scores. Right. We just go to the other room, or if you had a TV in another room next door, you just kind of like go back and forth. You know, now it's a little easier because you have your cell phones. You could be, you know, checking your internet constantly.
iPads and yeah.
So, but yeah, at that time, I would say, that was basically what we did, is just, you know, went into another room and just, you know, kept checking the score and, you know, during the matches that we didn't care for. Obviously, during the main events, we probably kept our eyes more on the main event. But it also depended on where you are in the game. But that would say how I dealt with it anyway. Yeah.
Now, another one you didn't mention, Chris, was game two of the 2000 World Series was the same night as No Mercy 2000. I remember that. We were running up there.
Yeah, because we were all going crazy.
I watched most of the now I watched most of the pay-per-view, because that's when Mike Hampton gave up 5 runs in the first 2 innings. And speaking of roided up juicers, Roger Clemens threw, what, 1 hitter for 8 innings or some jazz. And then the Mets, who admittedly, Dr. G, was one of the few teams that could get to Mariano Rivera in his career, scored 5 runs in the 9th inning and almost won, except for that scumbag Clay Bellinger. Where the hell's he now? Pumping gas? I think he does one of the other shows. I think he's on
Titan. A little feisty.
Johnny Sorrows, Clay Bellinger. Wait, is he going to show up at Old Timers Day next, too? You invite everybody else.
He's been there, excuse me.
When's your next? Who's the next old timer? You gonna invite? Solarte next? Is he gonna be at next year's Old Timers Day?
Ooh, you're a little feisty today, huh?
I have the air conditioning on. All right, thank you for that question, Chris.
Put
and number
little,
two,
this is
pure wrestling, so I'm gonna leave this one to you, Dr. G, because you don't get to talk wrestling as much. So I'm gonna leave this one to you. Which case of post Playboy ego was worse, China or Sable? And then I'll give my opinion in a minute. But go ahead, floor is yours. Now remember, wow. Sable's was in 1999, right around, you know, around before WrestleMania 15 and a little bit after that. And China's was about the same time 2 years later, right after WrestleMania 17. Which one was worse, in your opinion?
Well, I have to say, I'm probably, you know, Sable definitely had, I'm going to probably have to go China. Because China, that's basically the beginning of the end of her WWE career.
Mm.
And she thought that she was worth more than she was. And in the end, you know, I mean, there was a lot of factors there. I mean, obviously her
right.
and Triple H not being together and, you know.
Right.
And she had a lot of, you know, substance abuse problems, as well as
right.
Just the way she was raised and everything. She had some issues going on there. But I'd probably go with China.
Well, I agree with you for two reasons. Number one, yes, China's career went in the stinker. Sable just left. And then she, a couple years later, she met and then married and is now still married to Brock Lesnar. But she came back. Remember, she came back in 2003.
Well, I think with China, the issue is obviously she was Triple H's boyfriend.
Right.
Not girlfriend, I'm sorry. And at times she looked like his boyfriend, but anyway.
I knew you. I was waiting. You held that out there and hit that thing out of the park, and you're like, should I do it? Nah, the hell with it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Nah, the hell, all right? So, but whatever. His girlfriend. So, and obviously Stephanie is married to Triple H. I can't see any reason that they would allow her back in the WWE, and she's so messed up anyway at this
right.
point. But it's a shame because she had a good thing going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the circumstances are between her and Triple H and all that, so it doesn't necessarily mean it's all her.
Right.
But, you know, it takes two. But I definitely think that was a big effect. So I'm going to go China. So, Chris, that's my answer on that. And Chris, if you want to email us back and let us know what you think, or you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yep. And we have one more email. We're not going to have time. We're going to hold off. Maybe we'll do it during the Joel Barnhart segment. But thank you, Chris. And again, please fire them our way. ExtraPoint@placetobenation.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chad Campbell. Chad is going to talk Atlanta sports and the economics of it, with two new buildings being built down in Hotlanta. That coming up next. Made my way back home. I searched for foam land.
Years and years I roamed. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
To Atlanta, jacking hammers and bows. Back to the Mackin' and jacking the clothes. Adolescents packing the foes. A knock on the door.
Who is it?
I would happen to know the one with the flow.
Who did it?
It was me, I suppose. JD in the rolls and looters in the cut supreme. Skating down old Nat, got tucked and lean. I split your spleen. As a matter of
welcome
fact,
back.
I split your team. No
blood on the sneak. To episode number 10 of the Extra Point. Scott Criscolo, along with the doctor, George Avellino. Coming up later on in the program, Joel Barnhart, our Extra Point baseball analyst, will join us. And a little breaking news here in the Extra Point. We have our All-Star selections. They were just made a short time ago, so we'll talk about those along with more of the first half stuff with Joel Barnhart later on. But first, a guy is making his debut here on the Extra Point. I've been on many a show with him for an interesting topic that you, Dr. G, actually brought up on our last show. Talking
yes.
about the economics, I guess, of the city of Atlanta in terms of sports, which I thought was a fascinating subject. So I figured, why don't we bring in the expert at Place to Be Nation of the fine city of Hotlanta and their sports. He is, of course, charter member of Place to Be Nation, and he's been on many a show. Of course, he's the co-host of Where the Big Boys Play with one of my favorite British people, and I don't have many, Parv. He's also, of course, co-host of The Sports Lounge, and he's all over the place. Mr. Chad Campbell. Chad, welcome to the Extra Point.
Thank you, Scott. Good to talk to you again, and good to talk to Dr. I haven't spoken to him in a while. I think maybe Mania Weekend last year was the last time.
That's right. It's right. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. You know, we were talking last week, you know, a little Atlanta sports, you know, mentioning about how they're building two new stadiums. And we were wondering where the heck are they getting the money for this and why? You know, the stadiums are, what is it? Turner Field's not even 20 years old yet.
All right.
And the Georgia Dome's
the
what?
Georgia Dome's what? 20.
I think. Yeah, 22. So pretty recent.
Yeah, let's start with Turner Field. Of course, Turner Field was built primarily for the Olympics when it was there in 1996. Even though the team started, well, yeah, the team started there in 97.
Right.
Was that simply was it always? Do you think Turner Field was always considered a stopgap to a better stadium? Or and it was just an excuse to get out of Fulton County? Or did they really like Turner Field at the time, but then they realized 20 years later, wow, this thing has no amenities? Now, my brother went to the 2000 – was it 2000?
The All-Star game was there in 2000.
2000,
yes.
Yeah. My brother was at the 2000 All-Star, and he loves the build. He thinks it's a nice ballpark. What are your thoughts? Do you think that Turner Field was always a stopgap to a nicer ballpark and they just wanted to get out of Fulton County? Or do you think they really like Turner Field as a long-term building, and but then suddenly realized it was out of date? What are your thoughts on that?
So when they announced that they were building a new stadium, it was a big surprise. They kept it very secretive, and shocked pretty much everybody in the city. Turner Field as a stadium, I think, is interesting because it's still new. I mean, it's only 17 years old right now.
Right.
But it does feel like it was a bridge between kind of your traditional ballparks like Progressive in Cleveland and maybe Coors Field, some of those early 90 ballparks to the more recent, I would call vintage ballparks with great sight lines and open air and stuff like that. I'm thinking of like PNC in Pittsburgh and Pac Bell. So it feels like it's kind of right in the middle where it's not old, but it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
And the amenities, actually, if we're talking about inside the stadium, I would classify them as average kind of across the board, like average concessions. They have the Chop House, which if you're on the deck is not a bad place to watch a game, but you're going to be standing up over the rail for the whole game. And some of the other stuff is not too interesting. When they opened it up, they had what was called a bullpen alley, which is still happening. It kind of has like arcade games where you can hit in a batting cage and see how fast you can throw, stuff like that. And then they have the Braves Museum actually in the field as well. But it's not very fascinating. A lot of the amenities actually inside the ballpark, if you've been once, you've kind of seen it all.
That's interesting because, you know, you think about, you know, how much money it costs to build these stadiums. And, you know, even here in New York, that was a big to-do with the Yankees and the Mets getting their stadiums. And for the most part, the teams funded the stadiums themselves. But there was some controversy because obviously each team got some kind of deals through the city to be able to try to build these stadiums. And is there any uproar in Atlanta? You know, is there any uproar in you know, I guess in the state of Georgia about, you know, these stadiums being built when you have two current stadiums still existing?
So there's been a lot of discussion with that, but because the new stadium that they're trying to build, the estimated cost that was first released was $600 million.
Wow.
Now of that, and that's kind of for the whole stadium, entertainment complex, the whole enchilada. And now part of that was going to have to be funded by taxpayers inside of Cobb County. So there's been kind of a back and forth between a lot of opposition, a lot of people that think it'll drive economy to the county, but a lot of people that don't want to necessarily spend their tax money for building a stadium. And even the vote, it was just passed kind of to start construction a couple months ago, and the vote was 5-0 in favor, but that meeting was a little shady in the way they did it, because they only allowed a few people to speak, and everybody that spoke was in favor of building the stadium, and some of the people that were opposing building the stadium got kicked out of the meeting. Security escorted them away. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a good bit of political unrest from that, based on which side of that coin you lie on. It's pretty much your personal political preference. But I mean, I can see why the Braves would want to move from Turner Field. I know Scott mentioned this, that I'd mentioned to him before. Turner Field as a location right now, where it's at in the city of Atlanta, I work a mile from there. You can look outside the office of where I work and see the field. But it's in a pretty dreadful location. There's exactly...
what a great adjective, dreadful.
Yeah, there's exactly one restaurant within walking distance, I would say, of the stadium that you can go to. And otherwise, you're going to have to park or tailgate. And MARTA, which is the public transportation system in Atlanta, doesn't have a shuttle station near the stadium. No shuttle goes there, right. so you have to get out from the train and actually hop on a bus and get on a bus line and then take a bus shuttle to the stadium, which is a logistics nightmare.
Absolutely
would recommend never doing that. I did it once and swore I would never do it again. So as far as the location, there's just not. I mean, you're coming to Turner Field for the game and to tailgate in your car and nothing else.
Now, most of that area, Chad, around Turner Field, that was mostly where the rest of the Olympics were, right? Centennial Park and all that. Is that why it's kind of barren? Because there's nothing else to do there?
Centennial Park's a few miles from where the stadium is. I mean, where Fulton County and I mean, not to get all geographical, but where Fulton County and Turner Field was, because during the Olympics, both of those were kind of on an island to themselves. It's on the south side of the city, kind of on the other side of I-20, going towards 75, 85 south. So it's in its own little corner from, like, Georgia Tech, now Georgia State University, and then, of course, Buckhead. And Centennial Olympic Park is right next to where Phillips Arena and the Georgia Dome is at. All those are in walking distance, and the George World Congress Center. So really, Fulton County Stadium and Turner Field's always kind of been on an island as far as the geographic location in regards to most of the other city.
You know, it's interesting how each city has its, you know, like I said, with us – having built ballparks built here in New York, I mean, $600 million would have been a bargain for the New York teams. Right. You know, I forget how much City Field was, but I know the Yankee Stadium was over $1 billion.
I think
now.
$750 million was, or $800 million was City Field.
You
got to
figure here in New York, you know, you have major unions you have to deal with, and other aspects that you don't have to deal with in some other cities. But it's just amazing. And, you know, it's funny because where our stadiums are, you know, in the Bronx and in Queens, there's really not much around those stadiums as well. But there's public transportation. You've got the major train lines that take you right to the stadiums. And, and you got, like, even around Yankee Stadium, you have kind of like the old, like, stands bar, and you have like some of that stuff going on. And now they built a Hard Rock in the stadium, so it does add a little bit. And, you know, at City Field, they have, you know, a bar now that you could go to at the stadium. But it's amazing that, you know, all the things, all the aspects in different parts of the country when it comes to stadiums and how the people feel about it and how they go around it. I mean, there would have been no way in this area there would have been any secretive things going on, and they would have got taxpayers to pay for a stadium. I can't even see that, thinking of that happening up here. It's amazing that they were able to get that through. And then you go to the other aspect is, we talk about the baseball side, but now go to the football side, with a stadium that's 22 years old for football. Now they're building another football stadium What's is there any controversy over that?
So I'd say the football stadium has less controversy, just because not as much funding, not near as much is going to be brought on by the taxpayers. So that kind of the way that deal is structured is with less less controversy. And I think, again, I would say most people would be in favor in Atlanta of a new Georgia Dome. The Georgia Dome itself is again, it's fine. I keep using the word average for both Georgia Dome and Turner Field, and that's how I feel. I've been to a few, like I was just at the Superdome for WrestleMania, and I will say, like, I thought the amenities and what they'd done at the Superdome could kind of upgrade it after Katrina were a lot nicer than what I found at the Georgia Dome. And aesthetically,
really? Wow.
Aesthetically, I thought the Superdome, as far as the seats and the sight lines, just were a lot better than the Georgia Dome, actually.
Wow, and the Superdome got trashed, too. Well, it's funny you say that, too, Chad. I based on what TV, we watched it with the rest of the Place TV Nation guys, Doctor and I and Justin and everybody. And I had commented when they did the first wide shot during the pyro that the Superdome is very narrow. And you guys seemed a lot closer than a typical dome. It felt cozy. Like, the Superdome seems cozier for something like that. Now, obviously, you were let's compare that for a second. Not to bring in wrestling, but it does make sense. You were at WrestleMania 30. You, right, of course, were also at WrestleMania 27.
Right.
In terms of sight lines and just the overall ambiance, which was better? 30.
Yeah, now my seats were a lot better for 27 than 30.
Oh, really?
But I was close to that in the same spot. Just with WrestleMania 27, I was in the 200 section, with 30, I was in the nosebleeds. And so I would say with 30, comparing everything, I felt just as close at WrestleMania 30 as I did at 27. And considering the difference in where I was sitting, I think that gives the edge to the Superdome.
Now, Chad, last year you were in New York at MetLife. What did you, right, what do you think, you know, of MetLife, you know, especially that, again, here things cost a lot more to build. Again, that was over $1 billion as well to build. Me as a Giants fan, I hate sharing a stadium, drives me absolutely insane. So to me, it's a little too generic for me. I know that on game days, obviously there was not a Jets and a Giants game. They do put the colors of the teams around and everything. But what did you think of the amenities of the stadium as compared to, since you seem to go to a lot of different stadiums around the country?
So that I'm glad to hear they do put kind of a feel, whether it's a Jets or a Giants game, because I did kind of get a neutral vibe.
Oh,
going
it's definitely
in
neutral. You're
just
exactly
from
right.
The way the stadium looks and how everything is set up. I mean, the amenities with the bathrooms and the quarters, I thought were pretty good for an open air stadium. I wouldn't say exceptional, but I had a pleasant experience when I went there.
Just interesting to see. So, I mean, for you now, for this new stadium in Atlanta, is this planning on being a dome as well?
Yeah,
just like the Georgia Dome.
It's going to be a retractable roof.
Oh, retractable.
And the renderings that they've done of it, it's a kind of crazy looking thing with it's almost like a pinwheel is what it looks like, where there's about five or six kind of panels that seem like they can open up to make it open air. A lot of the reasoning, I think, for them wanting to build a new dome is to get another Super Bowl. Right. They've pretty much been told that if they stick with the Georgia Dome, there'll never be another Super Bowl.
And they've had two there.
They've had two. They bid pretty much every year, and a lot of people down here think that was one of the driving factors for them wanting to build a new stadium.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know, the Super Bowl brings in a lot of money, but again, well, you said a lot of the funding wasn't from public funds like the new Braves Stadium, so I guess, you know, really you can't complain. Now, what's the plan? I guess that was the question I had last week when we were talking about it. That's what I wanted to ask you. What are they planning on doing with the old stadiums? Are they planning on keeping them up and having the cities support these stadiums, or are they planning on knocking these stadiums down?
Turner Field, they've already, the mayor of Atlanta, who of course was pissed when they announced kind of overnight that they were moving, but it didn't take him long to pretty much announce that if they do move to Cobb County, Turner Field will be tore down. They're going to try to build up a new residential area. I think he's going to have a tough haul kind of reestablishing that area of Atlanta because the area surrounding Turner Field right now is pretty low income as far as the housing and the geographic area, as far as the economy. There's not a lot of business on that side. So he has a tough road ahead of him. Kind of wanting to recreate that area into an rising economy with residential areas around there and complexes.
I mean, I guess he's got to do something. You can't keep these stadiums up if nothing's going on in them. You know, it costs a lot of money to run these stadiums and to take care of them. So I guess he has to try to do something. Whether he's going to be successful in what he's trying to do, I don't know. You know, that part of, you know, the politics down there better than I do, but, you know, but I definitely think that was my big thing. I'm like, well, how are you going to support all these stadiums? Now, how about for the football stadium? What's the plan with that?
The Georgia Dome, I would say, is a little more murky just because the NCAA utilizes it a lot for the SEC mm-hmm. championship in football and then also the basketball SEC championship. So I would garner that they would still kind of migrate to the new stadium and the Georgia Dome would be pretty much nothing. I mean, there's some rumblings because Georgia State has a very terrible D1 football team.
Yeah, their team's pretty lousy. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Probably one of the worst D1 football teams out. And they play in the Georgia Dome in front of a few thousand people. Kind of a sad promotion last year. They literally had to drop money from the sky to get people to come to the games.
Wow.
Where they said they would on the catwalk, people would be shaking bags of money. It looked like Bobby Heenan at WrestleMania 1 and Andre throwing out the money to the crowd.
A Georgia State football game's kind of like that Clash of the Champions 6 at the Superdome where they got 3,000 people for 65,000
people. It's sad.
Chad, let me ask you about businesses and kind of revitalizing the area. Was you talked about how Turner Field is barren. I mean, it's been there a while. Is it that downtrodden over there? Was there no businesses wanting to? There were no projects in place or proposals to kind of invigorate that area near Turner Field? Or was it just is that area just a lost cause in terms of trying to do anything over there in terms of businesses?
Right. I don't think there's a lot of really real estate for them to kind of migrate up. But Turner Field, the way it's set up now, that you have the stadium and then you have the huge parking lot where Atlanta Fulton County used to be, and then you have three or four other parking lots. And then once you get on the other side of I-75 and I-85, you have a few more parking lots, a church, and a couple other houses and stuff like that. So there's just not a lot of area to either build a restaurant or a small business or anything of that nature. And it's, as far as I can remember, I mean, I can remember going to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium and now Turner Field, and I can never recall a time where we would eat somewhere around the stadium mm-hmm. or really hang out much longer than what the actual game lasted.
Right. Now, when did Phillips Arena open? Like 2003?
No, it was earlier than that. I think it was 1999.
Now, is the Omni still standing?
No, they tore the Omni down and built Phillips on the same exact.
Oh, okay, on the same
plot.
Plate. Okay,
okay.
Yeah. You know, it's the reason I always have a soft spot for the Omni. Besides the fact, of course, it was a hotbed for the NWA, of course, next to Charlotte and Greensboro. But the Omni is where my old building, the New Haven Coliseum, got the idea to have a parking garage on the roof. Omni had the same thing. So looking at the documentary that I have on DVD about the history of the New Haven Coliseum, situation's the same. They couldn't, because they're, I don't know why the Omni did it, but New Haven Coliseum couldn't dig low because of the water table near Long Island Sound, so they had to build it on top, which is kind of funky, but at the same time, it caused a lot of problems. But that was mostly money issues, but you know, a lot of rusting and you know, alkaline and that kind of jazz. But that's the idea. They got it from the Omni because the Omni had a similar situation. But I was just curious as to, because a lot of people used to say that the Hawks were never drew much, even in the post, even in their peak with Dominique and in the late 80s, that the Hawks struggled to draw. Were you surprised in the late 90s when they built Phillips Arena?
I mean, I think the Omni was very 70s and 80s,
right,
when you looked at it. It had the multicolored seats. The outside was a very unaesthetic, pleasing look. It was a very brown color, dark yeah. brown. Not something nice to look at. Now, as far as if we want to discuss a little bit about kind of the temper of Atlanta, I would say Atlanta fandom, because I know that was what y'all were talking about a little bit in the last episode with how now Turner Field's capacity is about 51,000-52,000.
Mm-hmm.
The new stadium they're proposing is 41,000, so they're trying to reduce that. And the reason they picked Cobb County, one of them, is when they looked at the tickets that were being bought, a heavy percentage of them were coming from north of the city. Cobb County's north of Atlanta and in that area. So that's why they kind of honed in on that specific area to try to boost attendance, I think, overall. I mean, as far as the attendance for Turner Field and the Braves in general, I don't think it's dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually middle of the road. There's some ups and some downs. Now, I'm not going to argue that Atlanta is like the best sports town in the country, or probably even a top 10, but I do think it gets unfairly ragged on to a certain extent, just because what Atlanta really is passionate about is not necessarily the same as a lot of other big media outlets. As far as college football, I think, is the one that I have in mind. I would say Atlanta's one of the best college football towns, and it's just a hub for not only UGA fans, but Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, just hodgepodge.
You're right in the SEC hotbed. So, I mean, it's...
No, you know what, Chad? Every town, you're right. Every town has its most passionate sports. I mean, up here in New York, I would say it's baseball and you know, NFL football. You know, but I can't say that too, because, you know, the hockey, the Rangers sell out all the time.
Mm.
I would say probably, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I would say that the Ranger fans are probably, I don't want to say the most passionate. That's not really the right word I'm using. But they will go to the games, win or lose, you know, bad season or good season. Whereas, like, Yankees and Mets fans, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to pay these prices. If you're not winning, we're not coming out. You know, and I think that a lot of that has to do with the economics. And I think, you know, I think why Atlanta got ragged on a little bit, it was because the Braves were such a great organization, or still are a great organization. But, you know, especially in the 90s, and it just seemed like the fans were like, we're in the playoffs again. Now we're not going to show up for the playoff games. And I think that's where they got, you know, they got ragged on a little bit. Wouldn't you agree that I think that's where Atlanta started getting the bad name.
I think that's true to an extent, that there was some complacency, but I think it was a little unfairly judged, because you can look back at the average attendance and they're in the 10 to 12 range during most of their run.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I would say the last few years I've been pleasantly surprised is there's been a bounce back for the wild card infield fly game that happened 2 years ago. That was sold out. Last year I went to game one of the divisional series and it was sold out. Game two, I don't think quite sold out, but there was 48,000-49,000 people in the stadium, which was pretty good. Now, I mean, the Hawks, there'll be no argument for me for the Hawks. The Hawks have a long haul to receive any traction, even with Dominique when they had Joe Johnson. They just, it's not a pro basketball town. And we know hockey now is not successful at all because they've tried it twice. So hockey and pro basketball, I think, have the toughest climb. But I mean, the Falcons they usually sell out every game. And have really, I would say the Falcons more than any other team in the last 5 years have kind of been rising up the ranks, where people my age in the mid to late 20s that maybe weren't quite aware or around for a lot of the Braves 90 runs or was too young to remember a lot of it. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are kind of our number one pro team. And then the Braves are falling in at number two. You're seeing that a lot. So, that, again, I think the Turner Field being torn down and them wanting to build a new stadium was kind of a plea to try to regain that fan base and get them more motivated in becoming Braves fans.
Mm. I agree. And, you know, I think when it comes to the baseball stadiums, if you notice, and even including here in New York, the stadiums are getting smaller in terms of capacity.
Right.
I think that because baseball, there's so many games, you got 81 home games. Yeah. I think they rather have, you know, so if you in a 41,000 seat stadium, even if you get 38,000, you're pretty much almost full. It looks full. It has a little bit more of a buzz to it. And I think that then, you know, it's a little easier to sell it out. Now, it depends on certain cities, like especially up in this area. They will charge you more. You know, the average seats a little bit more. I'm not sure what they're going to do in Atlanta. I have no idea the difference in pricing, you know, for you guys than here. And I'm sure it's a lot less. I know from other stadiums, you know, people that go to other stadiums around the country, it's so much cheaper. But New York's always been that way. That's with everything, you know, because it's just, it's the biggest city in the country. It's, you know, where a lot of money's being made, but sometimes, like, fans like us, you know, in the middle class, sometimes get squeezed out.
Right.
Where, you know, we, for us to get like a nice, great seat, we'd have to be, you know, we'd have to get a ticket from, you know, so a hedge fund or something like that. We couldn't get those seats. But whereas, you know, I bet you in Atlanta, you guys could probably get a seat behind home plate. Yeah, you may have to pay a little bit more, but it's something you could do every once in a while. Where here, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, the example I can use is right when Matt Ryan was drafted after the Vic debacle, when morale was pretty low for the Falcons, they released a few sections of season tickets at $250 for the season. For 10, for, you know, the 8 plus the 2 preseason.
$250?
Yeah, $250.
Jesus so, Christ, seriously?
You can get that for one game.
Well, I can't. Giant Stadium, you get that for taking a piss.
so we jumped on, me and my wife, and we're season ticket holders for 3 years, from 2008 through, actually 4 years. 2011 was the last season. And they gradually kind of crept up and crept up. Now, I mean, they're still, when you look at the price, the average median prices I've done, Atlanta's one of your cheaper prices, but at that same ticket now is $425, I think, this year.
I'll still pay that.
so still not terrible, but $42 a game, it's starting to get, it was murky, but that's not bad. But yeah, so I would say behind home plate on a non, you know, your random Tuesday night versus the Marlins, you could probably find a behind home plate, a few rows up ticket for around $125, something in that range.
That ain't happening to Yankee Stadium because those are legend seats and it's like $1,250 a game. I mean, you
get always empty,
all the amenities or whatever, but it's now who knows with the new stadium for the Braves. This is where, why they're building these new stadiums, to have all these amenities with luxury boxes and then special seating. And so I'm sure that some of that will change, because that's the times. But if they look in other cities, it's not that successful. It took, I mean, the Yankees are doing better, but it took them a long time because, again, you priced out the average fan. And you don't see people sitting behind there because they're in the Legends Club. I mean, and I've been in there because my wife got tickets one time before the stadium opened, and we went for, like, the first non-ticketed event at the stadium. and it's gorgeous in there. I mean, you have every amenity and every kind of food, five-star restaurant food in there. But, you know, then you all you're doing is you're getting the people, the lawyers, the doctors, the hedge fund people. They're all in there, you know, hanging out at the bar, putting the games on the TV. And then the real fans are not out there, and you don't have that same buzz.
Right.
How many rows? Because Turner Field does have what's sort of the special plush seats, but they only go three rows deep, which I think if in the new stadium, if they do, which I'm sure they will, if they do something like that, I would recommend either three or five rows deep, because I think you can have enough of the high rollers to fill something like that. But when you start talking about maybe 10 rows back of those types of seating.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many rows it is, but it's quite a few seats for Yankee Stadium. Mm. And it's, you know what it is, when they went to build both of the stadiums here, it was before, when they decided to do it, it was when things were going really well. It was before the economy crapped out in, you know, 2008, 2009, even though the stadiums opened up in 2009, but they started going in the planning stages, I guess, 2006, 2007. And they were like, oh, you know, all the hedge funds, they'll buy all these tickets and everything. And then when things went, you know, down the drain, those amenities went away for those companies. It's starting to come back, obviously, but it you know, for quite a few years. So they outpriced what they were doing. And as a matter of fact, they're $1,250 now. They were originally $2,500 a seat when the stadium first opened. So
at Citi Field, they're $5. And I could do a podcast from there. So,
it's really nice to get a nice perspective of, you know, how each city's doing it. And, you know, again, when we were talking about this last week, we were like, you know, that's why we wanted to have you on. You know, what are they doing? What's the feel like down there? Because, you know, you could look it up all you want on the internet, but just to get a feel from somebody that's living there, what are you doing with those two stadiums now? You're leaving them behind. Are they keeping open? What's the feel of the people who are living there? Are they for having these two new stadiums? Or are they not for it? So it's interesting. So each the baseball and the football have a different aspect to it. Like you said, the baseball kind of seemed like it was an underhanded thing, and that happened overnight. And, you know, and the football stadium is not publicly funded as much, so people seem to be more for it. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it'll be interesting, I think, to see how it sort of hammers out, because it doesn't look like there's going to be, even though they're moving forward with the Braves Stadium, there's still a lot of uprising from the groups. From the blogs I go through, there's a lot of discussion from the Braves-centric blog, so this is something that doesn't look like it's going to be getting quiet anytime soon.
Okay. Well, that's crazy. Should be interesting to see what happens over the next few years. When is the Cobb County Stadium for the Braves slated to be open?
Both of them are planning on being open in 2017. Mm.
I think you need to do, Chad, is start a petition that the doctor and I will both sign to make sure there's a big boss man statue outside the new Braves Stadium with the theme continuously playing, because, you know, serve hard time if you steal a hot dog, damn it. And not dress like the guardian angel either, good Lord. Chad Campbell, it has been a pleasure, my friend. It is great to have you on. Chad Campbell, folks, he is co-host of the Sports Lounge, co-host of Where the Big Boys Play. That's the doctor's favorite show. He likes the Where the Big Boys Play. He likes hearing Parb's sultry British voice, as well as you guys talking, awesome NWA. I'm actually watching them in order. Chad, kind of going along with your guys' shows. I'm up to Wrestle War 89. That's why I brought up that Clash 6, because I just watched it. I'm like, and it's funny how quickly before we go that Michael Hayes was talking about Junkyard Dog selling out this place, and I'm like, really, selling out this place was 3,000? Seriously? Yeah. I'm sure Bill Watts is probably laughing his ass off. They couldn't even fill half that place up. So. Chad, pleasure, and we'll have you back on, because we'll be ramping up college football, and that's yours and my wheelhouse, my friend. So we will be ramping that up very soon, so we'd love to have you back on.
All right, anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
When we come back, Joel Barnhart will be with us. We'll talk all-star picks, the first half of the season, and much more. Extra Point, coming back. If you a pimp and you know you don't love them hoes when you get on the floor. All women in the house if you chasing cash and you got some.
in Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Play Simulation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Welcome back. PlayStimation's Extra Point, episode 10. We'd like to thank our very good friend Chad Campbell for joining us, talking Hotlanta sports. We're going to talk a little bit about his team, the Braves, in this segment, a bunch of others. We're going to expand this segment a little bit. Of course, earlier in the evening, a little breaking news here on the Extra Point, Dr. G. The All-Star teams were announced. Before we bring in our guest, why don't you and I fire off the starters very quickly, and then we'll talk when we bring our guest, and we'll talk about the pitchers and the reserves. So why don't you give us the American League starters?
Okay. So in the American League, starting at catcher is going to be Salvador Perez from the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, Matt Wieters got voted in, but due to his Tommy John surgery, he obviously was announced as being a starter, being voted in by the fans, but he's obviously not going to be at the game. So Salvador Perez is going to be in his place, I guess. I think he was the second vote getter. First base, Miguel Cabrera from the Tigers. Robinson Cano for the Mariners at second base, having a good year after leaving the Yankees. The power's not there, but the average and the RBIs are there this year. And I don't think there's too much of a surprise, even though it wound up being a little closer than expected. Derek Jeter, the starting shortstop from the New York Yankees, his last All-Star game. So there'll be a lot of coverage on that for the All-Star game this year. Third base, Josh Donaldson from the A's. Again, another great throw in a trade, and here you go. This guy's an all-star. Everything that Billy Beane's touching lately is turning to gold.
Mm-hmm.
In the outfield, you have Jose Bautista. He was the leading vote-getter in baseball for the All-Star game. Mike Trout and Adam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Jones came on late. Yeah, I think as of last week, he was fifth in the voting. And he had a nice surge in the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the DH for the American League is not David Ortiz. It is Nelson Cruz from the Orioles, who's having a superb year so far. So that's your American League starters. For your pitchers, another great story. And I know that people that are not in New York care less, but we care here. Dellin Betances, he is the right-handed pitcher out of the bullpen, having some year this year, came out of nowhere, struggled for the last 3-4 years in the Yankee system. They made him a reliever, and now he's just been lights out. Left-handed pitcher Mark Burley from the Blue Jays, Yu Darvish from the Rangers. Obviously, that's going to add some international flavor. Sean Doolittle from the A's. Felix Hernandez, the King from the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Holland from the Royals. Scott Kazmir. Now, just think about it, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we were watching the Bridgeport Bluefish in the Atlantic League.
And the Sugarland Skeeters.
And he was pitching for the Sugarland Skeeters. And I remember my daughter getting an autographed ball from him. And I said, you know what? Hang on to that, because he's trying to make himself get back to the majors. So glad she hung on to that ball anyway. John Lester of the Red Sox. Glenn Perkins of the Twins. David Price of the Rays. Max Scherzer from the Tigers, from Joel's team. And last but not least, Masahiro Tanaka from the Yankees. So now you have Yu Darvish and Tanaka, being named to the All-Star game, add that international flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something right now, although they always find a way, if the Major League Baseball does not know how to market this All-Star game this year, just from some of the stuff I've read from the American League with Jeter's last All-Star game, Darvish and Tanaka from the, the international flavor from, Japan, Betances, who's, kind of like a Cinderella story, Kazmir, comeback story. They don't know how to promote that. You know what?
Fire them all.
They'll never know how to do it. So that's your American League All-Star team, starters and pitchers.
Yes. All right. In the National League, your starting lineups, your catcher is Yadier Molina from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Your favorite catcher?
My favorite catcher ever. Tubba, never mind. Your first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Your second baseman is Chase Utley from the Phillies, which is kind of, I'm pleasantly surprised, as much as I'm not a big Phillies fan, obviously. But, here's a guy who's had injury issues the last couple of years. The team is not very good. And here he is starting at second base, so good for him. Shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki of the Rockies. Isn't he hurt, though?
He is, but I have a feeling he may not start. But.
Yeah, he may not start. I'll have to look and check the – let me look quickly at the – well, we'll get to the reserve. Based on the reserves, who would be shortstop? Starlin Castro of the Cubs probably would be the guy that starts. Him or Josh Harrison of the Pirates, one or the other, if he doesn't start. Third base, Aramis Ramirez of the Milwaukee Brewers. And your outfield, Andrew McCutchen of the Pirates. Carlos Gomez of the Milwaukee Brewers and Yasiel Puig of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, let's look at the pitchers. And I'm glad we're doing this because our guest is having some technical issues, so hopefully he'll pop up shortly.
Unbelievable, Scott. The National League pitching staff
is and jacked.
The starters they have is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
jacked.
Again, here's more where you could be pumping this thing up. Did Major League Baseball marketing people, if they're not on top of this year, I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
I really don't.
Here's your pitchers. Johnny Cueto of the Reds, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers, Zach Greinke of the Dodgers, Madison Bumgarner of the Giants, Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals, Tyson Ross of the Padres, because you have to have at least one Padre, Jordan Zimmermann of the Nationals, Craig Kimbrell, the closer for the Braves, Julio Teheran of the Braves, who was actually replacing Jeff Samardzija. Of course, as we know, Jeff Samardzija was traded from the Cubs to the A's, so he is not on the NL All-Star team, obviously. Aroldis Chapman of the Reds, another guy who had his face, hit pretty much with a line drive in spring training. Guy got made it to the All-Star team. Of course, K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez of the Brewers, figures. He leaves the Mets and becomes an All-Star. Tony Watson of the Pirates, and finally Pat Neshek of the Cardinals. So there's your American League.
I tell you, I have to say, I don't know, you're always going to have some controversy, but I thought that the fans did a good job with the starters, and I think that the managers did a pretty good job with the pitchers. You're going to have people to say, I know in New York you're going to be like, oh, why didn't David Robinson make it, as closer for the, to make it to the American League team.
Right.
But you know what? You can't argue with Greg Holland, who's having a good year.
Yeah.
And his teammate, Dellin Betances, who's, he's been a savior for the Yankees, making it as a, middle middle relief pitcher on the team. So I think that in the American League they did a good job, and I have to say I think they did a pretty good job in the National League. And National League's just jack pitching.
Yeah, the pitching staffs.
Now Jeff Samardzija was named to the National League team because the pitchers are named by the players.
Right.
You know, but no, pitchers are named by the manager. I'm sorry.
By the manager.
The reserves are named by the players.
Now, of course, the manager is John Farrell for the American League, and
I think what happens
Pat Metheny. Mike Metheny,
Julio Teheran,
musician,
is named in place of Samardzija,
mm-hmm.
and Samardzija, I think, is able to go to the game because he was obviously named the All Star, but right now he's ineligible to play. I guess if there is going to be some kind of injury, or somebody doesn't decide to, you know, depending on how you know, the starting rotations work out, he could be named to the American League team,
right?
I believe.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% positive on that. Let's see.
Well, you're looking at that. Why don't I finally bring in the Demon Kane, who's finally fixed his technical issues. He is, of course, Place to Be Nation Extra Points exclusive baseball analyst. He's, of course, a sports writer, and he is his power rankings should be coming out this week. On PlaceToBeNation.com, and he's a fan of the Ding Dongs. Mr. Joel Barnhart.
I thought it was Macho Man.
You are Macho Man, but
I have my Macho Man shirt on today.
He had his Macho Man shirt on today, but you are a fan of the Ding Dongs and the Dupes. Or what is it, the Mulkies? Was that the other crappy tag team, Dr. G?
Mulky Mania,
the Mulkies. And Doom. Joel, pleasure as always, my friend.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Good, great. Hopefully good. Working on all the technical kinks. What would an extra point episode be without some type of technical problem going on somewhere?
Yeah, that's all right. What I was thinking.
Before we
well,
dive
you know
into...
what it is, Joel? I can't get these guys, the big bosses, you know, at Place to Be Nation.
I'm only a host.
Invest some money.
I'm only a host. I don't have... I'm like the Vince McMahon of Place. I'm only a host. Anyway... Joel, have you had a chance? I know you were running around before you hopped on. Have you had a chance to look at the All-Star rosters?
Well, I briefly, and I've got them up in front of me now. Okay. So
we were just reading the starting lineups and the pitchers. First question: tell me this roster of National League pitchers is not frickin' loaded. I mean, Cueto, Kershaw, Greinke, Wainwright, Baumgartner, Zimmerman. And you've got closers. Kimbrel, Chapman. I mean, what a lineup of pitchers on the National League side.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. One thing I noticed was that extra man balloting.
Mm-hmm.
In the American League, it's five pitchers. In the National League, it's five hitters. And when you look at the National League staff, that's your answer as to why.
Yeah, yeah, they don't need any.
No, well, they are loaded. This could be a very low-scoring all-star game.
I agree, and you know, and the thing is that I was saying to Scott, and I don't know if you agree, especially you cover baseball, different names. It's nice to see. It's like it's you know, it really is. I mean, you got some of your staples there, but a lot of different names out there this year, and really pitching has really started to outshine hitting in both leagues, but more specifically in the National League. So it's interesting, and I said to Scott, if Major League Baseball, there's so many stories in this All-Star game, if they don't know how to market this game, they'll never be able to market a game. I mean, with Jeter being his last game, with Tanaka and Darvish from the international flavor, coming from the Japan League, the great stories like Kazmir and obviously the National League pitching itself. I mean, if you don't know how to pump this up, I give up.
No, you're absolutely right. This is an all-star game with, you know, a story at every turn. I mean, and you hit just about all of them, George. And yeah, I mean, baseball's always struggled with their marketing. They always seem to be a step behind the NBA and the NFL when it comes to that. Which, you know, there's lots of reasons for it, I think, you know, they've pushed for years, you know, they're young, talented stars. And if you look at these rosters with very few exceptions, you know, that's really what they went for.
I think they did a great job. I think the fans did a good job. I think the managers did a good job. And I think the players with the reserves did a good job. I really, listen, you're always going to have a complaint here or there that you're never going to make everybody happy. You only have so many spots. But I thought they did a pretty good job. Yeah, I really do.
I absolutely agree. I think, a few years ago I stopped voting in the All-Star balloting because it got so just ridiculous. It just turned into this popularity contest of who had the best 3 months and I quit voting in it, but I gotta say, if they keep churning out ballots like this, I might have to change my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I know. How do you feel? Scott asked me this off the air before we got on. He goes, you know, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be a lot of backlash? Jeter being named to the All-Star game as a starter. He's having an okay year. I mean, there's nobody. Alexi Ramirez is obviously having a little bit better. And there's nobody lighting the world on fire at shortstop. The offense has definitely gone down in the last few years for many different reasons, PEDs included. So, I don't know. I don't know. Do you think there's going to be a lot of backlash about it, or do you think that he is somewhat of a beloved figure in baseball that, you know, they knew it was his last game and, you know, let him go out, you know, go let him go out on top?
Guys, before you answer that, Joel,
sure.
I got a rumor floating around right now through some of the Place to Be Nation channels.
Uh-oh.
Big-time superstar announced his in-ring retirement tonight at a house show up in Canada. You ready for this? This is huge news.
Please be Cena. Please be Cena. Please be Cena. Go ahead.
Santino Marella.
Oh.
Dr. G, I am so sorry.
All right.
Devastated, aren't you? Your Italian superhero. He was going to be the next Bruno. whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, Joel. Go ahead and answer the question.
I can't. I'm crestfallen.
You were hoping I'd say you were hoping Cena was going to forfeit the titles tonight. That's just
I'm not enough of a mark to worry about that sort of thing.
All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So yeah, I think George. I don't see there being a lot of backlash. I mean, Jeter's. He's ninth in the American League among shortstops in OPS, but the top guy's 732, the bottom guy's 615, Jeter's 651, which is basically right in the bottom half. He's not having a great year offensively, but he is, you know, he's 40 years old, so it's not like we were expecting him to, but you're right, nobody really is. I mean, Escobar's doing well for Kansas City.
Listen,
but he's got...
I was happy if he could... 270, 280, and you know, it's a totally different position, totally different
it
aspect
is.
Of where Mariano was playing last year. I mean, Mariano probably could have won another couple of years, but he's an everyday player. Shortstop's one of the tough positions on the field. Not many shortstops even make it, you know, shortstop their whole career at 40 years old. So, but I think that's going to be, you know, obviously that's probably going to be the main story. Have so much more there. You know, for those who are not Yankee fans or Jeter fans, and they want, you have, like I was mentioning, you have Scott Kazmir. We were just talking, you know, we saw him a couple of years ago in Bridgeport playing with the Sugarland Skeeters in Atlantic League. And my daughter got an autograph from him. He was really nice, and he came over, and I said, you know, hang on to that because he's trying to make it back to the majors. I never really thought he was going to be this good coming back, but, you know, he obviously had the talent. I said, you have Darvish and Tanaka, the international flavor. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, and this this National League pitching staff is just unbelievable. I really think they got a lot of stories here, and this could really make for one of the best All-Star games we've had in many years.
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous show. It's going to be a lot of fun. They've got lots to talk about. You're right, Jeter will be the focus, with this being his last year and him being, you know, I mean, it'd be different if he was hitting like, you know, 083 with nothing and he was, you know, hobbling but he's holding his own well enough for being, you know, last season and he'll be the main story, but I think you're right. I think between the National League pitching, Kershaw, Puig, Samardzija getting traded right before it. There's 100 stories. And it's just gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
It is, and I'll tell you, I really, really I really like the new names. It's just, you know, like, you know, some of them you got to look, oh, yeah, wow. You didn't realize they were having such a good year. You know, it's just, I'm really into it this year. I think we're going to have a great story, great storylines going in. I don't think you're going to hear as much controversy about who made it and who didn't. First of all, this isn't even going to be the, you know, this is going to change probably 10, 12 times before we even get to next Tuesday, based on injuries, based on for pitching, you know, who's pitching like right, you know, that Sunday before, and then they're going to hold them out. They'll still go to the game, but they'll, you know, they won't pitch. So there's going to be a lot of changes. But for right now, I think the way you know, everybody between the fans, between the managers and the players, I think they did a good job.
All right, now Joel, you asked me earlier on, and I was going to do this anyway. I pulled up way back at our MLB preview special. We did predictions for the divisions in the World Series. we'll hold off the postseason. Let's go to the divisions. All right. Okay. Now, in the American League East. Oh, this is a treat. Joel, you picked the Red Sox.
No. Did I? Really? Wow.
Ugh. I picked the Yankees.
Oops.
And Dr. G, you picked Tampa.
Oh boy.
And guess who the top two teams in the AL East right now? The Orioles and the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Oops. Let's move on.
Well, Joel, we did such a great job there, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, why don't we just end the show now and bring Chad back?
Both Tampa Bay and Boston are 9 games out.
I know. I did pick Baltimore to win a wild card, so I don't feel too bad about that.
You did. Yes, you did. Yeah, but your other one was Texas. All right. In the AL Central, we all picked Detroit, and right now they're 4.5 up on Kansas City, so that's okay. In the West, we all picked Oakland, and you know they're the best record in the league at 55-33. But look at this, Joel. The Angels are slowly creeping up. They're only 3.5 back, and you know what? Mm-hmm. Seattle's only 7 back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised more by Seattle because the expectations were lower. But Anaheim seems to have really clicked. They're 7-3 in their last 10, and their home record's great. They're 30-14 at home, and everything seems to be clicking for them right now. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up and you know catch Oakland or grab a wild card spot. But
I think you may see a race there. And you know, Seattle, I have to be honest with you, Joel. I mean, Cano really has added something to that team. I mean, you know, they're still a middle of the pack lineup, but it was better than it was last year, and their pitching is very good so far this year. It's just a matter of, will that pitching hold up? You know, it's still a long season, but for right now, he's added some excitement in Seattle, even though the power numbers are not there, but he's still hitting. I think he's leading the American League in hitting, and he's driving in the run. So he's definitely added something. I think probably some Yankee fans miss him.
Well, Seattle, I just looked it up. They're second in the American League in ERA, like overall. And their hitting is, you know, not nearly the caliber of what Oakland or LA can trot out there. LA is second in the league in hitting. Oakland's fifth. And Seattle's dead last. So, I mean, if Seattle can add a bat at the deadline, we might have a really fun three-team race. If they don't. Yeah. If they don't, you know, Oakland
maybe
and
wild card.
Yeah, Oakland and LA should still be a lot of fun.
All right. Now, in the National League, in the East, we all picked Washington. We all picked the Nationals. And right now, you know, they're in the race. They're only a half game back of the Braves. And we'll talk about individual teams in a minute. Mm-hmm. In the Central, let's see. You two picked the Cardinals, and I picked Cincinnati. Well, Milwaukee leads by 4.5 over Pittsburgh. The Cardinals are 5 out. The Reds are 6 out, so they're about in the same boat. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about those teams in a minute. And in the West, we all picked the Dodgers, and they're leading by a half game over the Giants. That's pretty much a two-team division because San Diego, Colorado, and the Diamondbacks all pretty much suck.
Yeah.
Our wild cards, you picked, Joel, Pittsburgh and Atlanta. So your National League wild cards are actually almost online right now. Nice job.
Wow.
I picked the Cardinals and the Mets. For once, I let my heart speak, and now I'm being banished. And and you, Dr. G, your National League wild cards were the Reds and the Braves. And again, they're both kind of hanging around. So American League wild cards, yes, Joel, you did take Baltimore, but you also took Texas. And they stink. And we'll talk about them in a minute.
Well, they had injuries. So.
Yes. I took Tampa and the Angels, so I'm kind of hanging at least one of them. And you, Dr. G, Jesus. You took the Red Sox and the Yankees. Guess that 2004-2005 stuff's not working anymore. for any of those teams. All right, Joel. General overview. And then Dr. G and I are going to kind of do a lightning round thing and just fire teams at you. And then you'll give us first half thoughts, second half predictions. But first, in general, overall, teams, players, any thoughts on these first, three-plus months of the baseball season?
I think the biggest surprise in the American League team-wise is probably Seattle. As good as L.A. Has been, and they're, like we said, 3.5 back, I think the expectations going in were a lot lower for Seattle, despite Cano, and the fact that they're still hanging in there is a testament to them and their pitching. And so I think they're a big surprise. Obviously Texas is a disappointment, but with all those injuries, of course they are. In the National League, we've got a lot of fun races at the top. Philly is bad, and you hope for their sake of their fans, they'll sell. But given that front office, who knows? Pittsburgh's doing well. I think that whole division is going to be maybe the most fun division come the second half. And the Dodgers, they might just run away with this whole thing. They might, by the time this is over, they might be the best team in baseball by a lot. So we might have a California series, but it won't be the San Francisco Oakland stuff everybody was talking about a month or two ago. I think we could see Oakland and LA.
That's okay. Interesting. And I would say the biggest surprise probably in the National League would be the Brewers.
Oh yeah, by far. I mean, 52 wins at the break, close to the break even point. I think so. They're doing everything well. I really was worried about their defense and just how right hand heavy they are, but they've been a really good surprise. They're pretty good, and if they can just add a first baseman, or another arm, they could stick around.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, trade deadline. I mean, already there's been some trades. Obviously, the big one was with the A's and the Cubs, where the Cubs got a bunch of big prospects from the A's for Jeff Samardzija and Hamill.
Jason Hamill.
Mm-hmm. So, and Samardzija pitched today as we're recording this, and he
pitched great.
He gave up one run, I think, today, and like seven innings.
Mm.
So he had a good game, and he must be very reinvigorated being on a winning team. And actually, I think he had two wins with the Cubs, so he already got a win with the Athletics already.
Yep, four hits, one run over seven today against the Blue Jays. 108 pitches, 75 strikes in 115 innings this season. He's got a 2.74 ERA. His WHIP is just over one, and that's in 115 innings. So that was a coup for the.
I think that definitely was a big trade. And Yankees today traded Vidal Nuno for Brandon McCarthy. Basically 2.5 ERA pitchers. But, McCarthy has had some success in the past. So the Yankees are hoping just to get some innings and maybe he'll be reinvigorated. And they released Alfonso Soriano today.
Wow.
As well, who was doing absolutely nothing this year. And that's weird because they need hitting, so that just shows you how bad he's playing. I guess they were really using more in a part-time role. He was using Ichiro somewhat this year. More, probably Ichiro got more at-bats than he expected. And so the Yankees cut ties there. That's the two trades, you know, that come to mind right now. There's going to be a lot more, mm-hmm. and it's going to be interesting to see because you got a lot of teams in it. And now with these two wild cards, teams are more reluctant to sell this early. So it's going to be interesting to see, although there's been some action already earlier than expected. For me, I thought maybe it would start happening a little bit more next week. What do you think about that, Joel?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I was surprised to see so many early trades, but I like what's happened so far. I like Oakland's move for both teams. I was really surprised they got both of those starters.
Yeah, same here.
And you know, I like what we've seen so far. I don't think the Yankees' move for McCarthy is anything other than just a reaction to CeCe being out for the year. They just want a warm body to plug in, and obviously feel like McCarthy's a better bet than Nuno. You know, so it'll be a good next, what, 3 or 4 weeks. I think we'll see a lot of rumors, but yeah, given these second wild cards, we may not see a lot of actual action, but it'll be fun to follow the build.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, this season so far, really, like you said, you're having the two surprise teams, one in each league, Milwaukee and Seattle. And, you know, and in teams that you thought were going to do real well, like Texas, but, you know, they got dealt with some major injuries, including Prince Fielder. So it's just, you just never know. And it, like I said, it's such a long season that, you know, we could be talking, you know, 3-4 weeks from now, and this could be totally different. You know, we could be, but I agree with you. I think the Dodgers, I mean, I think that pitching staff is unbelievable. I think that they're eventually going to pull away from San Francisco, I think, although I think it still be a good race. And I think Oakland and the Angels, I think that's going to be the most interesting race in the American League as well.
Mm. All right. Yep. So the doctor and I are going to go back and forth, and we're going to pick a team. We're going to pick teams, and we're just going to fire them off at you. Give us your first half reflections on them and your second half predictions.
Okay.
I'll go first. Toronto.
You know, the offense has been fantastic. You know, they are getting the type of offense they hoped they'd get last year. Their pitching's been so-so. It's kept them in games. You know, Burley's been healthy. Dickey's been healthy. They need another starting pitcher to step up, or they need to acquire somebody to compete. But, you know, given the way the Yankees and Red Sox and Rays don't seem to want to stick around or make a statement, this is definitely Toronto's time to do something. I wouldn't be shocked to see them go after after Price. I don't know if they'll get him, but I think they'll make a darn good offer.
That's interesting. I'm going to go with what do you think about Kansas City?
I don't see them doing much. Their offense is really bad. They've got some good pieces. That's a team, you know, that I wouldn't mind seeing them. I mean, I hate saying this because they've been doing it over and over. I wouldn't mind seeing them try to sell some of those pieces, because right now they've got so much of what everybody else needs. They've got a couple starters they could move. You know, if Toronto can't get Price, they go after Shields. They've got lots of bullpen pieces that could help people. They've got a few hitters. You know, Alex Gordon would look awful good in several different uniforms. You know, he'd be a good fit for a contender. So, you know, I don't think they're going to make another run. We talked last time, and I said that their winning streak was a fluke, and I'd love to see them sell, just because that aspect is so fascinating to me, to see what they get and what they could do with the pieces.
Baltimore.
Well, you know, when we talked back in the preseason, Scott, I did pick Baltimore. I picked it largely on their defense. Their pitching is middle of the road. They're seventh in the league with a 3.89 ERA. Their offense is top four. They've got a 744 OPS. So they are hitting, which is
Well, Cruz is added to that lineup without a doubt.
I mean, it's been said other places, but he's been the bargain of the year. But they're hitting the ball, thanks in large part to Cruz. You know, Markakis is doing well. Jones has been okay. But they're also still catching the ball. They've got 694 defensive efficiency, which is fifth best. So between hitting the ball and catching the ball, they're propping up a pitching staff that's kind of middle of the road. And I think they're kind of like Toronto. I think if they can add an arm, that's a team that could put some distance. I think we might see, you know, if both teams could add an arm, we could see a very fun two-team race between the traditional anchors of that division.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be interesting to see in that American League East who the two – usually it's two teams. What two teams are going to fight it out in the end? Right now I'm thinking it may just be Toronto and Baltimore, but, again, you just never know. Like I said, it's such a long season.
They both have to add a starter. I mean, they just, you know, they both need it. Price would be ideal for both, but I just don't know if Tampa wants to trade him in the division. So, you know, maybe they target some lesser guys, you know, that are out there. But if one of those, whoever adds the best pitcher at the deadline, I think is probably going to pull ahead in that race.
Agreed. I'm gonna go to the National League and ask you about the Cardinals.
They are still very good, which I don't think any of us are surprised that they're in it. I like what they're doing with their defense. You know, they're making the outs, they're making plays when they need to. Their offense is not great. You know, Matt Adams has been really good at first base. He's been hitting for a little bit of power now, which for a guy that size, you need that. And so he's been coming around. But they need another bat. I don't know if they're going to look – maybe they'll look at second base. Maybe they'll look at third and move Matt Carpenter. But they need something. I don't think they can rely on Colton Wong and Oscar Tavares to have great second halves because they're just rookies.
Right.
So they need a hitter and depending on what happens with Michael Wacha's shoulder, they may need a starter. That's the bad news. The good news is they've got the prospects and the front office acumen to pull something like that off. So
I never count that organization out. No. I never do. I still think they're going to win the division come the end of the year.
That's a good possibility. I mean, I like I said earlier, the Brewers, if they
I'm not sold on the Brewers. I have to be honest.
I'm not totally, but if they can, again, it comes down to who can add what.
Right.
And I still love the Pirates. I still think they've got a good core and they've really shown it the last month or so.
The Angels.
They suck. Can we just move on? I'm just saying that because you picked them, Scott. I love that offense. It's not flashy. I mean, Mike Trout is, I guess, flashy, but he's not. Right. You know, he is, but he isn't. He's an interesting player in that way. You know, they've got a great offense. They're second in the American League in OPS. They hit pretty good for power. They hit with guys on base. They really seem like it just kind of has taken them a while to gel as an offensive unit. You know, when they brought in Hamilton and Pujols, I think it took those two guys a while to, you know, get healthy and get acclimated to the new team, the new surroundings. And I think also it took those two egos a while to acclimate to this idea that, you know, they're going to have a 22-year-old kid be the star now. And, mm-hmm. and they had to, I think, you know, say what you want about, you know, ego and team chemistry. But I think it took those two a while to kind of get over that in addition to getting healthy. But now that they are, and I mean, I know Pujols is always going to be banged up. But, yeah, this is a team that can do some damage, and you know they've made a couple minor moves so far, but I wouldn't rule them out for something bigger. They've got an owner that wants to win, and I could see them being a real sleeper.
Interesting. I'm going to go with I want to ask you about Washington.
I like them, but I, for some reason, they just aren't living up to everyone's expectations. You know, I think, you know, last year everybody thought they were going to be a super team and steamroll the league, and I think this year it was, oh well, now they're healthy, so they'll do it again. But of course, they've lost Harper for a while, who I think, Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was my preseason MVP pick.
You or me. I don't remember which one. I closed the window. Yeah, let me double check.
It was one of us, I think, maybe both. But he's been hurt. But they've gotten good production. I like the idea of Zimmerman kind of being a rotating jack-of-all-trades guy. I know he doesn't want to play third anymore, but I think, you know, this year, I think they keep that revolving door moving. They rest players. They sit slumping guys. And I think it does work out. I think they do, you know, get a wild card spot. I love that bullpen. I like that rotation. Strasburg and Gonzalez match up with anybody on the planet. It's a question of the offense. Can they get enough offense and health to make the other two parts click?
Actually, you and G both picked Bryce Harper to win the MVP. I picked Joey Votto. I don't even know what numbers. I'm trying to what he's been doing so far this year, but
yeah, he's going on the DL with another injury. So,
I agree with you, Joel, on Washington. It's like the team of the last couple of years they're kind of not to a lesser extent, like, you know, Toronto. You think every year is Toronto going to break through? But I think in this division they have a pretty good shot at actually breaking through and maybe even winning the division. Again, it comes down to what a lot of these teams, and again, we could maybe do this 4 or 5 weeks from now and be talking a whole different scenario. It depends on the moves that are made by the teams to upgrade and get what they need, you know, the pieces that they need to make their teams, the pieces that are missing to help get over the top. Would be interesting. I think if they go after another hitter, and it doesn't have to be a big time, but somebody to help out in that lineup. And is Harper expected to come back anytime after the All-Star game?
They were targeting pretty darn soon. He might even be back now. I'm not sure. I've been, you know, preoccupied with real life.
Ugh, what an inconvenience.
I know. Really, I mean.
He's back. He hasn't been back long, I know, but there was something where he quote unquote criticized Matt Williams' lineup, which he really didn't. He just kind of said, you know, if I were making out the lineup, I would do it differently. But I don't see that as a harsh criticism of Williams. I think that's more just, you know, I'd like to bat somewhere else, but whatever.
He's always got the microscope on him because he's kind of opened his mouth in the past. So, you know, obviously they're going to make a big story of that. Could you imagine if he was playing in New York?
Oh, yeah, that would be – I'd be fascinated by that. I mean, I would just utterly just be glued to everything he says just to see who would break first. It'd be amazing. In its own way. I think Harper does get a bit of a bad rap because, you know, he came up young, arrogant, brash. And of course the media attention didn't help. What 16-year-old on the cover of SI isn't going to get some backlash.
Right.
But
he's been humbled a little bit, I think so.
Oh yeah. I think he hasn't been a world beater like Trout, and the injuries haven't helped, and you know, but he does seem to be pretty level-headed. He's just outspoken.
And yeah, if he could get away from the injury, I think he could definitely be one of the best players, if not the best player in the National League in coming years. He's still young. So, you know, you just never know. You know, again, the injury bug is a big thing for him. If he could avoid getting the major injuries, you know, he's definitely going to be one of the top hitters in the league.
Absolutely.
All right, before we wrap up, Joel, any just general reflections, two or three predictions in general, players, teams, anything you have for this second half?
Well, again, a lot of it's contingent on the trades that happen between now and then, but you know, I do think that Baltimore and Toronto both make a move for a starting pitcher. I don't think David Price goes there. I think David Price, looking at it, I'm going to say Price goes to either, and this is not in any particular order, but I'll say Price gets traded and he goes to either the Angels or the Mariners, or what the heck, the Pirates.
I think he goes to the Dodgers.
I think those teams have the depth. The Dodgers, yeah, they have the depth too, but I just wonder if they focus on a bat.
I don't know if Seattle has any chips that they can...
Yeah.
Seattle hasn't been in this position in about 10 years.
That's true.
You know, I don't know if they have any chips they're willing to part with for a guy like that. Because the Rays are going to want to fleece some team for
Price. Yeah,
they
really are. But... So. You know, but I mean, look at what it took Oakland to get Samardzija, you know, which, I mean, Price is better, but it really would only take, I think, one top shelf prospect and a couple of other good ones. And Seattle's got a couple of, they don't have a ton, but they got a top couple of good ones. Walker and Paxton are solid. Yeah. So, but yeah, Price gets traded for sure. And I do think he goes to one of those three teams, you know, and I suppose L.A. if they decide not to target a bat.
Now, Joel, a question I have for you as a Yankee fan. You always got to talk about the Yankees because they're always in every trade rumor or anything.
Well, always have to talk about them.
I'm glad somebody admitted it.
go ahead, Z. What's your question?
Do you feel like they're going to make a big deal?
Do you think
they can come out of nowhere and make some kind of deal that, you know, for maybe like a Price or any big bat that's out there that's going to be on the market, which I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
Well, they are 3.5 back in the wild card, and they currently have a fairly good chance of making the postseason. They're given the postseason odds and stats from couple of different sites, they're at about 23% chance of making it, which I think, you know, you gamble on that, you go in. I don't know. I don't think they have the talent to get anybody really, you know, game changing. Like, they're not going to get a Price or Stanton or anybody like that if Miami decides to move him. But I could see them talking to the Phillies about Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels. I could see them talking about all of the Phillies outfielders, Murphy for the Mets would be a nice pickup at second base if they want to do that.
Would the Phillies trade Chase Utley?
That's not out of the question. I mean, he's got those 10-5 rights, so it'd have to be a good fit. I think if they do, it's out west. I think he goes California or,
I agree.
You know, maybe, I mean, the Dodgers could use a second baseman. The Giants could really use a second baseman. You know, Oakland could definitely use one. I wouldn't be surprised to see Oakland flip, a pitcher now that they've got Samardzija and Hamill and Kazmir and Gray, and, you know, they're like 6 or 7 deep. It wouldn't shock me to see them flip a pitcher for somebody and, one of their young arms to the Mets for Murphy makes a lot of sense.
That'd be interesting. You mentioned Murphy about the Yankees. I'd be interested to see if the Yankees and the Mets would actually make a deal.
Well, they did make a deal. We gave you that crackpot Armando Benitez. So I suppose anything's possible.
What about your Tigers before we let you go? What do you think about the Tigers? Are they going to do anything?
Yeah, not much, nothing earth-shattering. I mean, I wish they would upgrade at catcher, but they won't. I think their infield's okay. Castellanos is a train wreck at third base defensively, but there's nobody out there to replace him. I could see them getting a third baseman maybe, but I doubt it. I think that they pretty much stand pat, except they add a bullpen arm. I think, you know, they get Hanrahan back from his Tommy John recovery in a month or so. So I think they look primarily to target a lefty. But I don't think they do anything headline grabbing or, you know, they don't make any sexy moves. They just add a bullpen arm, maybe two, and maybe they pick up an insurance bat, but nothing, you know, nothing that would make headlines. But I think in their division, they don't need to. I think they win the division, and then with that pitching, Scherzer and Sanchez are really good at the top. Porcello, I'm not sure what he's doing tonight against Tampa, but he's rounding into form. He's pitching the best he's ever pitched. And of course, you know, Verlander, he's struggling pretty bad, but he's been turning it around the last few starts. And when it turns to October, you just never count him out.
Yeah, you never count a guy like that out.
And I guess one thing I wanted to ask you guys about was, what did you guys think of his comments where he said that the Oakland trade was – he said that Oakland made it because of Detroit, because Detroit's bumped him out of the playoffs the last couple years. You guys buy that? What do you think?
I don't see how that's wrong. The Detroit pitching has been – I mean, Verlander the last couple postseasons has been almost pure gold. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the A's had a guy like that in that rotation. You know, we don't have the Mulder, Hudson Zito deal anymore. So I think Oakland needed this trade to give themselves. I mean, I'm fascinated. Look, I have a soft spot for Jeff Samardzija. He's an ND guy, but I'd be fascinated to see Jeff Samardzija in a playoff race. I think he's kind of been lost in the shuffle in that putrid cesspool of called the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. And I think it's a – I think like I
that's how you really feel.
And like I have anything about my team. My team's about as putrid as well.
Well,
but,
you know, Scott, you make that joke, and then he goes and plays in Oakland, a stadium that literally has shit coming out of the ground. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. They've got their own. You know, it's funny, Joel. In our last segment, we were talking to Chad Campbell about Atlanta and the new building for the Braves and everything, and that whole Oakland A's building in Fremont or whatever the hell it's going to be, or San Jose or whatever. Who knows when that's ever going to – what is it, in 2 years or 3 years? They were supposed to have an all-star game. Actually, this year was supposed to be their all-star game. Yeah. If that building was – that Cisco Field or whatever the hell it was supposed to be called, it was between them and Target Field this year for the all-star game, and I think they were leaning towards Oakland. And it's, obviously there's no building, so they went to Minnesota. So
yeah, I fully expect my children's children to cut the ribbon at that ceremony. That's how long it will take.
Oh, yeah. That's brutal. But, going back to Verlander, it is a little uncharacteristic for him to really say something like that. But, I mean, he basically was telling the truth. I mean, you can't really knock him for that. He'll probably take a little flack because he's not the type of guy that usually will come out and say something that – I wouldn't say it's controversial, but, you know, say something to, like, tweak another team or anything like that. So I don't really see that much of a problem with it.
Yeah, I think it'd be totally different if he said they made the trade because of me.
That'd be even better.
A-Rod
would say
he'd be even a bigger fan.
Yes, he would.
I'd be even a bigger fan of him than I already am if he said that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. But
anyway.
No. Seeing what it's like around here with him, I think, you know, he was just being honest, and he said, look, Oakland has pitching, but they don't have that, you know, that swing and miss pitching that you need in the playoffs, and we do, so that's why they did it. And
right.
I can't wait to see how he does postseason. I think it's going to be a good story to follow.
Mm. Joel, it has been a pleasure as always. Back-to-back shows, we appreciate it. So now you're off for the next – so now we won't bring you back for like 3 months. We'll see you at Thanksgiving. No, I'm just kidding. We'll definitely have you back on, sometime in August. Talk about the heat of the pennant races, trade deadlines, and that kind of thing.
Right.
But follow him, of course, placetobenation.com. His power rankings piece will be up at some point this week, I believe.
Yeah, they're actually, I think, looking at the way the season's breaking down, I think I might just hold them and do them at the All-Star break. So
okay,
that,
no problem. Yeah, sure.
You know, so that it's a little bit easier to kind of have the stats and have everybody say this is what they are as of Sunday. And so, yeah, they'll be out soon. And then I'll be doing some stuff for the Hall of Fame stuff that's coming up
yes,
at the
absolutely.
End of the month as
yep,
well.
That's
so.
Real. That's definitely cool. All right, good. Joel, pleasure as always. Dr. G, you and I will be off for the next couple weeks, so we won't. We're not going to have another show until the last week of July. We're going to take the next couple weeks off, but we'll be back at the end of July, and we'll start cranking up some college football, as Chad Campbell mentioned earlier in the show. Definitely bring in Todd Gessling,
and it'll be interesting to see with the trade deadline coming up and
yes,
where these standings
yep.
look at that time.
Yep, and we'll be getting closer to NFL training camp. So it all starts over again. So we're going to have a lot of fun as we head into the dog days of summer here on The Extra Point. So, Chad Campbell, Joel Barnhart, the doctor, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've hit The Extra Point. Happy 4th of July weekend. Talk to you soon.
See you, folks. Yours, that's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on.
Show on.